भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Narada's teaching to Vasudev, text 49. Ma patya buddhim akrita, Krishne sarvatmanishvare, maya manushya bhavena, Buddhaishvarye pare vyaye, ma patya buddhim akrita, Krishne sarvatmanishvare, maya manushya bhavena, Buddhaishvarye pare vyaye, Ma patya buddhima krita, Krishne sarvatmanishvare, maya manushya bhavena, buddhaishvarye pare vyaye.
Ma patya buddhima krita,
Thank you. Word means ma, do not. Apachabudhim, the idea of being your son. Akrita, impose. Krishne, on Krishna. Sarva Atmani, the supreme soul of all. Ishvare, the personality of Godhead. Maya, by his power of illusion. Manusha Bhavena, appearing as if an ordinary person. Guta Aishvarye, hiding his opulence. Hare, the supreme. Avyaye, infallible. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Do not think of Krishna as an ordinary child, because he is the supreme personality of Godhead, inexhaustible and the soul of all beings. The Lord has concealed his inconceivable opulences and is thus outwardly appearing to be an ordinary human being. Just before I read the purport, that might just sort of catch up or review on where we're at. Sometimes when you read the verses one by one, we sort of lose the context of the whole story. Probably the last time some of you were here, we were talking about King Mimi and his instructions by the nine Yogendras, and now here we're back to Narada and Vasudeva. So some of you might want to know kind of what's going on. This started way back in chapter 2 when Narada went to visit Vasudeva, Krishna's father, and asked, and Vasudeva asked questions of him. One of the questions he asked for was, he said to Narada Muni, I asked for Krishna to become my son, but I should have asked for liberation. I should have asked to be able to go back to Godhead. Instead, I just wanted Krishna as my son. And then Narada says, well, let me tell you a story about how Maharaj Nimi was instructed on pure devotional service by the nine Yogendras, who were nine sons of, anyone know? Prashadde. Okay. Anyway. So now this has just ended. A few verses ago, the story of the nine Yogendras has ended, and now Vasudeva is returning to Narada Muni, and he's praising the position of Vasudeva, that he was so fortunate to have Krishna as his son. So in text 46, Narada says, indeed, the whole world has become filled with the glories of you and your good wife, because the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, has taken the position of your son. So now the next few verses are describing that relationship between Vasudeva and Krishna in that parental role. So now we get to today's verse where he says, do not think of Krishna as an ordinary child because he is the supreme personality of Godhead, inexhaustible and the soul of all beings. The Lord has concealed his inconceivable opulence and is thus outwardly appearing to be an ordinary human being. Okay. Report. Lord Sri Krishna is the original source of all plenary incarnations of the Absolute Truth, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. His unlimited transcendental opulences are inexhaustible, and thus he very easily brings the entire creation under his personal control. Lord Krishna is the eternal well-wisher of every living entity, so there was no need for Vasudeva to be anxious about his future destination, nor that of other personal associates of Krishna, such as the members of the Yadu dynasty. In verse 46 of this chapter, Narada Muni told Vasudeva, Putratam Akamadyadvam Bhagavan Ishvarohari, you and your good wife are now glorified throughout the universe because Lord Krishna has personally become your son. In this way, Narada is encouraging Vasudeva to continue to love Krishna as his most beloved son, for such ecstatic devotional feelings are never to be given up. But at the same time, Narada is removing Vasudeva's doubts about the future by assuring him, due to your love for Krishna, you may think that he is an ordinary human being. You are appearing like a human being, and Lord Krishna is simply reciprocating with you. In order to encourage you to love him as your son, he is placing himself under your control, and thus his inconceivable power and opulence are being concealed from you. Don't assume, however, there's actually a dangerous situation because of the events of this material world. Although Krishna appears to be under your control, he's eternally the supreme controller. Therefore, do not consider him to be a human being. He's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're sort of saying two different things here, isn't it? Think of Krishna just as your son, but remember he's the Supreme Controller. Okay. The word Maya in this verse indicates that Krishna's manushya, or human-like activities, are actually misleading to the ordinary man, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya also means transcendental potencies. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sambhavam Yatma Mayaya. The Lord descends in his own transcendental form, filled with transcendental potencies. And thus the words Maya Manushya Bhavena here also indicate Krishna's original transcendental form, which resembles the human-like forms experienced in this world. Maya also indicates mercy or compassion, according to the Sanskrit dictionary. And thus the Lord's incarnation is understood to be his causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls. The Lord's descent is also his causeless mercy upon the liberated souls, who take immense pleasure in joining the Lord in his pastimes and in chanting and hearing about such exalted spiritual activities, Shravan Kirtanam Vishnu. In order to reciprocate the love of Vasudeva for him, Krishna mostly concealed his unlimited opulences. In this way, the devotee is fully encouraged in his particular loving relationship with the Lord. However, when Vasudeva was filled with anxiety due to the dangerous situation created by the Brahmin's curse, Narada immediately reminded him that such anxiety was unnecessary since all these events were under the direct control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the Vaishnava Paramahamsas who take the position of the Lord's parents remain under the shelter of the Lord at all times and never deviate from the loving devotional service of the Lord. They remain fixed in transcendence in all circumstances, unlike ordinary parents in the material world who are constantly becoming bewildered by illusion due to the bodily concept of life. Unfortunately, none of you students have to worry about that because your parents are not ordinary parents and they are not bewildered by illusion. They are devotees. Also, John. Omagyanatamrandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksanitanina Tasmasri Namaha Vanchakal Patubhischa Krita Sindhu Devacha Patipano Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Namo Namaha. So, Narada is praising the position of Vasudeva because he was so fortunate to have Krishna as his son. Actually, Vasudeva and Devaki had Krishna as their son three times. They did severe austerities and penances, as described in the Krishna book, chapter 3. Krishna says, the first time I was known as Krishna Garbha, born of Krishna and Sutapa. And in the next birth, I was Upendra, who was Vamanadeva, born of Aditi and Kashyapa. And now for the third time, I am born as Krishna from you, Devaki and Vasudeva. So just imagine how fortunate to have Krishna appear as your son, not just once, but three times. And then he says, after this, you're going back to Godhead. You know, no more verse in this material world. You know. So it's described here how Krishna appears as an ordinary human, in a human-like form. And he performs many human-like activities, although he also performs extraordinary activities, like killing demons and lifting Govardhan Hill. But he descends in his original form as Krishna in his particular appearance 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. So this word Maya Manusha or Maya Manusha Sha first appears in the very beginning of this 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter 1, verse 7. And it's described how he appears like an ordinary person. Now, because he appears this way, it's described that many people do not understand him. They don't understand how this ordinary appearing young boy is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when Krishna appeared, maybe 50 people on the whole planet understood that he was God. So it's not, even when Krishna appears personally, it's not so easy for people. Why? Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:25, Nanam Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita Mudho Yam Nabijanati Lokomam Pacham Avyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, Yogamaya, and therefore do not know, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So there's this covering potency of Yogamaya that works for both the devotees and the non-devotees. Prabhupada explains this a little more at the in the 10th canto. And the end of the first chapter, very unusual, it's only, I don't remember many places this is, that there's this very extensive end notes after chapter 1 of the Bhagavatam, where Prabhupada writes a lot of further explanations on many points of philosophy. So in those end notes, he describes several terms. And he describes this term, Maya Manushasya, which is also in today's verse. Prabhupada says, because of being covered by Yoga Maya, Krishna is sometimes called Maya Manushya, indicating that although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears like an ordinary person. A misunderstanding arises because Yoga Maya covers the vision of the general public. The Lord's position is actually different than that of an ordinary person, for although he appears to act like an ordinary man, he is always transcendental. The word Maya also indicates mercy and sometimes knowledge. The Lord is always full of transcendental knowledge, and therefore acts like a human being. Although he acts like a human being, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of knowledge. So, we might think, well, devotees, pure devotees, completely understand Krishna. They're full of knowledge of Krishna. They completely understand his position. But actually, not always. We see in the example of the Brajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, that they often don't recognize that Krishna is God. But we have the example of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They're thinking that Krishna is simply their child. And it's their duty to protect that child. Why would they need to think that they need to protect Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can kill unlimited demons, who is the creator and the maintainer of the entire universe? It is out of this loving relationship that Krishna allows them to think that they are actually his mother and father, and they act like an ordinary mother and father in the sense that they're always protecting Krishna, they're deeply loving Krishna, and they're just relishing and experiencing these wonderful, beautiful pastimes of Krishna as their child. Similarly, the coward boys think of Krishna as just their dearmost friend, and they have such fun playing with him all day. And the gopis think of him as this wonderful, beautiful young man who is their lover. So in so many ways, this Yogamaya potency or covering is there to increase and enhance the pastimes between Krishna and his devotees. Now, of course, Krishna sometimes reveals himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, for these devotees in Vrindavan, they don't see it so often. It's more rare that Krishna lifts that Yogamaya, and they sometimes have some inkling that Krishna is actually God. But not so much. Now, for Vasudeva and Devaki, they're actually, of course, not residents of Vrindavan. They're more situated in Mathura and Dwarka. Krishna reveals himself in his supreme nature a little bit more so. As we're seeing in this whole discussion, Vasudeva is having an extensive discussion and hearing all of this philosophy of how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for Vasudeva and Devaki, sometimes they manifest the glorification of Krishna in terms of awe and reverence, and sometimes that knowledge is covered for their Vatsalya Bhava, for them to be able to see Krishna as simply their child. Remember when Krishna first appeared, he appeared in what form? Devaki and Vasudeva, what form did he appear in? Do you remember? What? Yes, he appeared in this Vishnu form with four arms. Because he wanted to show them, yes, I am actually descending for the third time as Krishna. I am Vishnu, Krishna, and I'm descending as your child. And of course, they're all, you know, very reverential. But then immediately, or very soon, after some prayers, he then takes the form as just a young baby. So it's kind of like they forget all about him being Vishnu then, and then just think, oh, this is our baby, and we need to protect him from Kamsa, because he's in danger. So that parental covering and fear for Krishna arises to increase their love. So there's different levels of how devotees engage in relationship and rasa with Krishna mixed with their knowledge of and some awe and reverence. Actually, it's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are three levels of happiness of prema due to the mixing of prema with jnana and Aishwarya. This is a little technical here. Now, I knew somebody would ask, so I wrote them down. I don't understand these too well, but they're called Dhuni Bhuta, Pradhani Bhuti, and Kevala. Okay? Everybody got that? Yeah. This is not an essential element of our philosophy, but just a little factoid to put in here. And what this really means is, to the degree that one's pure love of Krishna is mixed with knowledge, and Aishwarya means opulence, with his knowledge of his majesty and opulence, then there are different ways that one's love of Krishna is shown. And so an example of Mother Yashoda is almost always in this pure prema, the Yoga Maya, and where Devaki and Vasudev's, their Vatsala prema is sometimes lessened by knowledge of Krishna's power and opulence. But of course, Vishnu Chakravarti Kaur also mentions they are all Nitya Siddha devotees, and there should be no further discussion of differences. In other words, we don't say this one's higher, this one's lower. We just note that they have different relationships, you know, mixed by different degrees of intimacy and different degrees of awe and veneration. So we can see, like someone like Mother Yashoda, you remember when she saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth, right? And so she becomes very philosophical, you know, thinking about Krishna as the supreme for about two verses. Then immediately she said, you know, what is it? She doesn't like this. She doesn't really want to think of Krishna this way. She doesn't really even want to see this. She wants to think of Krishna as just her young baby, her child that she needs to take care of. So she's not very interested in the awe and reverence aspect. And similarly, remember when Nanda and the coward men, at one point, they're discussing, you know, when Krishna's killing all these demons, and they had to start thinking at some point, it's not exactly an ordinary little boy, is he? You know, he's just killed, you know, Lumbasura and Agasura and all these demons, and then all these incredible, wonderful things. And so, you know, they're kind of musing, they're thinking about, who is this Krishna anyway? This doesn't seem to be an ordinary boy. And so they're saying, well, maybe he's a great demigod, or he's a great, you know, this. Maybe he's even Narayan himself. And Nanda Maharaj thinks, you know, actually, Garga Muni said something like that to me during his birth, you know, during the birth ceremony, that, you know, that somehow he would be as great as Narayan. So they're thinking, oh, he's as great as Narayan, but they don't really quite come to the conclusion that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or if they do, they kind of quickly forget that, move on back to wonderful Krishna. You know, this wonderful coward boy. So that's the mood of the devotees. Of course, our position is that we worship Krishna in the mood of on reverence, in this Aishwarya, particularly in our deity worship. You know, we worship the deities in on reverence, beautiful decorations, very elaborate. We put on turbans or crowns. You know, we dress Gaurani Thai not as sannyasis or as, you know, simple devotees. Prabhupada said we dress them as princes, as great princes. So, in other words, we need to understand this is God. And we don't take liberties or falsely think, oh, I'm in some intimate relationship. No, we worship Krishna, you know, in this mood of worship, of on veneration. And it's actually the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. It's described, Prabhupada says, well, our destination is always Radha Krishna. The deity service is in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan or Vishnu. And so, but not on the stage of spontaneous service like the residents of Vrindavan. Now, when a devotee becomes more advanced, say a devotee's worshiping the deities for many, many years and they become very advanced and they have more intimate relationship and deeper relationships with Krishna, their internal mood may change, but the external service does not. We always maintain sadhana bhakti. Even the great devotees, we see that the six Goswamis, they worship the deities in the temple. Sanatana Goswami, who helped write the Hari Bhakti Vilas, you know, about regulated deity worship. And of course, we see that the six Goswamis, they chant in regulated numbers of rounds every day, and so many things. So even the greatest of, and they're gopis, they're Manjari gopis in the spiritual world, but they demonstrated that we always act in this way. We always act in this way of practicing sadhana bhakti and great worship and on reverence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we don't falsely think that, oh, I'm I'm ready for some deeper relationship. And then we may become familiar and cause offense, which we don't want to do. Okay. So, we see that Yogamaya is working here. Yogamaya, remember there's two types of Maya, Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Mahamaya is actually expansion of Yogamaya. Mahamaya is the external energy in this material world, and it covers us actually from seeing Krishna. And it keeps us attached in this material world, enjoying the objects of senses in this material world. That's Mahamaya's job, because it's our desire. Yogamaya, on the other hand, is the internal potency of the Lord, and Yogamaya has spiritual purposes. First, you could say everything has a spiritual purpose, but this internal energy has the purpose, and actually she acts in many ways to assist in the pastimes of Krishna and to assist the devotees. First of all, Yogamaya arranges all of Krishna's pastimes. Now, Purnamasis is understood to be an expansion of Yogamaya, and she helps arrange all these different relationships and things that are going on with Krishna and the gopis, etc. And, of course, we talked about how Yogamaya covers the intimate associates to be able to enjoy their rasa. This is, again, talking about Mother Yashoda. Example from the Bhagavatam 10.8.44 says, Mother Yashoda, by the grace of the Lord, could understand the real truth. But then again, the Supreme Master, by the influence of internal potency, Yogamaya, inspired her to become absorbed in intense maternal affection for her son. And Prabhupada says, although Mother Yashoda understood the whole philosophy of life, at the next moment, she was overwhelmed by affection by her son, by the influence of Yogamaya. And as she took care of her son Krishna, she thought, how could he be protected? So this forgetfulness is described as being under the influence of Yogamaya. Of course, Yogamaya also covers materialistic persons, as we saw in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 7.25, Yogamaya Samadhita. And Yogamaya also manifests spiritual material energy in forms. It's described that the universal form is expanded by Yogamaya. Yogamaya Bhagavadhyam. Bhagavatam 3.6.35. And Yogamaya even makes Krishna forget himself so that he can enjoy his own pastimes. So you might think, how can Krishna actually forget that he's God? Well, it's obviously very complex and probably far beyond our finite understanding of such things. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 4.29, it says, Prabhupada says in the purport, Yogamaya is the name of the internal potency that makes the Lord forget himself and become an object of love for his pure devotees in different transcendental mellows. So in the same way, the devotees have to more or less forget that Krishna is God to be able to understand his intimate dealings, Krishna has to sort of suspend that mood too so that he can fully enter into his own pastimes with his devotees. I heard the example given once to explain this. If you're watching a play or a movie, and you know you're in the audience and you're watching the play or the movie, and somebody next to you in the seat next to you says, "You know those are just actors." You go, "Well, yeah," and you know you're really absorbed and you're really enjoying the story, and you say, "You know that's not a real story." Well, finally, say, "Be quiet! You're ruining this for me. You're ruining the story." So in the same way, it's kind of like we know that they're actors, we know that it's not real, but you suspend that disbelief. Isn't there a word for that? Willing the suspension of this verisimilitude, right? As a teacher here. Uh-oh, got her. I think it's is that right? Verisimilitude? Anyway, it's called willing suspension of disbelief. And a good story, like in a book or whatever, does this. It makes the audience forget that they're just the audience, that you're, and you enter into the story. So Krishna and the devotees have to enter into the story in that way. And even think of the actors. So Krishna's one of the, you're an actor in the play, and someone keeps saying to me, you're not really Haranjikasipu or whatever you are in the play. You're Tamahara. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. How can I have to get into the part? You know, so Krishna has to get into the part. The devotees have to get into the part. Otherwise, it's no fun. And Krishna enjoys unlimited pastimes that are happy, that are blissful, that he's enjoying. So he can't enjoy it if you keep ruining it by saying you're really God. You know? So anyway, this is kind of how it is. There's this sort of suspension, of, at least as far as I can understand it, according to my finite brain, you know, that Krishna wants to enjoy the play. Okay. So Yoga Maya covers the devotees sometimes so they can enjoy pastimes, but Yoga Maya also uncovers devotees and allows them to know Krishna. It'll help the conditioned soul to know Krishna. See, there's two parts of not knowing Krishna. One is the pure devotee in a pastime becomes covered and forgets as Krishna. For most of us, we've just forgotten Krishna. We're under Mahamaya. You know, we're an illusion and we've forgotten Krishna. So Yoga Maya helps us to come up to that position of knowing Krishna. In a purport to 2746, Srila Prabhupada says, "The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of Yoga Maya, helps the surrendered soul to know him proportionately to the advancement of one's surrender." So in other words, Yoga Maya is that internal potency, the internal energy, the spiritual energy of the Lord that is helping the devotees at all times to become spiritually advanced and to become closer to Krishna. And the devotees also under the protection of that internal potency of Yoga Maya. It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.23.10, Prabhupada's purport, he says, "Devahuti knew that her husband was in a highly elevated transcendental position and was under the shelter of Yoga Maya. It's marginal energy. A person may be under the material energy or the spiritual energy, Yoga Maya." See, we have free will. We can choose to be under the material energy or under the spiritual energy. It's your choice. What would be the better choice? Let me think. Yes, probably we should choose to be under the internal potency of Yoga Maya. Kardama Muni was a great soul, and therefore he was under the spiritual energy, which means he was directly connected with the Supreme Lord. So because the devotee is under that internal potency, they feel the protection of Krishna. And Krishna promises that protection. Krishna says, "Sarvadharma Prachaja, Masucha, do not fear." And in this purport, or in this verse, we're seeing that Narada is also reminding Vasudeva the same thing. He's saying, if you are fearful or you have some stress or some anxiety, don't worry. Remember, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's one of the reasons he's reminding him of that. So you are completely protected. You don't need to fear. You have nothing to be in anxiety about because Krishna is the Supreme, is helping and protecting his devotees all the time. So do not fear. In that purport to 1866, Prabhupada says, "One should be confident that in all circumstances, Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. There's no need to thinking how one should keep the body and soul together. Krishna will see to that. One should always think himself helpless and should consider Krishna as the only basis for his progress in life. As soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes free from all contamination of material nature." So we can understand, of course, it says seriously engages oneself, but when one takes up this process seriously, even the neophyte, the beginning devotee, is under Krishna's protection. That internal potency of Krishna is there. And for the devotee, they experience that protection. If a devotee is ever in any danger or distress, they turn to Krishna, and they know that Krishna will be there to help them. Of course, primarily we understand that Krishna gives spiritual protection. He protects us from, well, he says, "I will protect you from the most dangerous kind of fear," right, in the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada explains, what's that most dangerous kind of fear? The most dangerous fear is if you fall back in this material world, taking repeated birth in different species of life. So the greatest protection that Krishna gives us is that he always helps the devotee to spiritually advance. And even if we are in some distress or some suffering, it does not mean that Krishna is not protecting me. Saying, "Oh, I prayed to Krishna to protect me, but I still have this disease or I still have this distress or this accident happened or I have this anxiety." No, it's the material world and these things will be there. These things are going to happen. The stress is there. But it's different for the devotee because Krishna is directly helping that devotee and even using that distress or suffering as a way for us to advance and to surrender to him. So that's why the devotee never fears, knows that the outcome will ultimately be for their good, and ultimately Krishna will always give protection. Okay. So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Questions, comments? Yes, Mr. Vagatnika in the back. In the back row there?
I'll never forget, it was when Rod asked me 2 years ago that Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was here, and he explained, gave an analogy, how Krishna is the supreme controller, yet how can he be subordinate in the lila? So he says, just like in a drama, Yogamaya would be the director, but Krishna is the script writer. Mm-hmm. He writes the script, so he's superior, mm-hmm, always. But yet, when he's under the direction of Yogamaya, or he allows himself to be under the direction of Yogamaya, so for the lila, enjoyment.
That's a great point. So you might say, well, how could Krishna be under the control of Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj? Because he allows it, because he wants it. It's his desire that he be. In other words, he has the control to be able to give up the control to allow them to think they're in control. Something. Okay, yes. Mother Shantipur.
So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we aspire to attain Goloka Vrindavan as the supreme residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it seems like if Krishna is under Yogamaya and all of these pastimes that we aspire to, it seems like it's covering the reality, which would be Narayana is supreme, just from my perspective. So would you address that?
How would Narayana be supreme?
Well, if Krishna has to be under this transcendental illusion in order to forget that he is God, in order to participate in these pastimes, it seems like it's not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality would be without that.
Well, of course, Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He's the original personality of Godhead. All other bright manifestations are coming from him. So that mood of Krishna being the supreme in opulence and majesty that's there in Narayana or Vishnu, that's an expansion of Krishna. But Krishna is that, but then he's also able to perform these most intimate pastimes, which makes him the supreme because he can do more. In other words, in fact, it's described, you know, the 64 qualities and how there's different ones, and Narayana has up to 60 qualities, but only Krishna has those top four qualities, which are, you know, playing his flute and his beauty, but his childhood pastime, but his wonderful pastimes, including childhood pastimes, and the supreme love of his devotees, those are exclusive to Krishna in his Krishna form. Anyway, it's an interesting point, you know, and I'm sure it's more complex than that, but that's a simple answer. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, Guru.
On that question, you have so many big, important people. It's like the whole of North America, they're working, they have their posts, and they're busy working all year long. But what are they thinking about? They're thinking about when they go on holiday, or they're thinking about their lover, or when they're playing with their children. Mm. And that's really where they reside.
So, in other words, Krishna has all the stuff he has to do running the universe, but where his heart really is in his intimate relationship with his devotees. Okay. Great point, thank you. Yes, Evermia? Yeah.
And these the descriptions you're giving of the different devotees. I know at one time I was thinking that one progresses from stages like Vasudeva and then arrives at the stage like Nanda Maharaj, but it's not actually like that. But what is my position? I'm trying to understand these people, devotees like Nanda Maharaj and Devaki they're very highly elevated. And yet I'm trying to understand Krishna's more intimate pastimes in Vrindavan, which are even higher than that.
Yeah.
So it seems like you have to understand Krishna before you can actually attain a higher level. What is our situation?
I think our situation is that we appreciate Krishna and we appreciate Krishna's pastimes and his Vrindavan pastimes and his Gaurika Mathura pastimes to the degree of our realization. And even new devotees, remember we used to, you know, read Krishna book at night. And, you know, Prabhupada gave us these highest, most elevated, intimate, you know, pastimes. And to some degree, we appreciate them, right? We appreciate them on some level. You know, there's some level of enjoyment, and sometimes you get a little spiritual inkling and a little thing. But do we fully understand them? No, of course not. In other words, and as we advance, we will appreciate them at deeper and deeper levels. So, you know, we need to start with we're not our body. You know, have a lot of that philosophy too, along with, you know, Bhagavad Gita, along with trying to understand Krishna's relationship with the devotees in Vrindavan. But they're there, and it is because it's like knowing what the goal is. This is the highest, but we're not there, and we need to do a lot of the elementary and, you know, undergraduate work before we get to the graduate study. But still, we know that it's there. You know, if I want to be a doctor, a medical doctor, and I'm just starting college, I'm going to be studying biology and anatomy and stuff, but I know that eventually I'm going to learn whatever they learn. I'm going to learn. I know that surgery or whatever is going to be there in the future. You know, and I might even enjoy hearing, discussing with medical doctors who are there and what they're doing and how they treat it, even though I'm not really ready for that yet. I'm doing the beginning preparatory work. I don't know if that analogy worked or not. I just thought of it.
The other part, my thought question is that devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki, they're in that position because that is the relationship they actually want with Krishna.
Yes. Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying. In other words, in one level, we're saying it's deeper, more intimate, the relationship with Yashoda than that of Devaki. And Vishnu Chakravarti at the core discusses that, and he discusses exactly why, because it's mixed with Aishwarya and like that. But then he said real clearly, there should be no further discussion of the differences. He said they're all nitya siddhas. They're in a constitutional position. And then he says that there's a mixing of rasas. It's not the same as a mixing of the modes of nature. In other words, the difference between Devaki and has nothing to do with, you know, not being completely pure. They're completely pure. There's no modes of nature working, but there's just different rasas. You know? And, you know, we know. And, of course, we know there's five rasas. And in some ways you can say Madhurya rasa is the highest. In one sense it is. In another sense, it's not, right? Because if I'm in another rasa, if I'm in Shankarasa or even Shantarasa, you're completely, perfectly situated and happy because it's your sarup, it's your constitutional position. So it's only relatively higher and lower. I guess it's one of those simultaneously, one and different. You know, it's higher, but it's not really higher because it's all spiritual and it's all perfect. Yeah. But still, the acharyas have said there's some distinction in understanding the most deepest levels of God. Take one from the women, and maybe Frank Govinda can help us with this. Go ahead.
Could we say, according to your example, that we have this sort of distinguishment in our devotional service also? I'll give you an example. That we tend to think that the pujaris on the altar are more exalted position of devotional service than the one who's doing the pots in the kitchen. I'm making this example as you're explaining that the rasa, the most elevated one, is actually not different from other rasas. Is that?
Well, you mean just like Prabhupada said that it's equal, that one cleaning the floor is equal to the bhujari. In one sense, you could say, well, yeah, you need to be a Brahmin. Maybe it is a little bit more advanced, but at the same time, it's equal in service. I think that's a good example. Yeah. Well, we can say one rasa might be considered the highest, but in a sense, they're all perfect, too. Yeah. Prangavan, could you?
That in 10th canto, 9th chapter, in the beginning, Prabhupada put in a purport, beginning where Mother Yashoda's chasing after Krishna to catch. One purport in the beginning, Prabhupada said that if one endeavor to participate in this parental mood, like Devaki and Vasudev, then he has to wait for 4,320,000 solar years to invite the Lord to come as his their son. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if one to enter into that, he can just do in one life by chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada did give us a hint, like how we can go easy.
Very good.
I have also another point that, so if I focus on the sweetness of Krishna, then it invoke in my heart affection for him. It's natural.
Sure.
But if I invoke majestic aspect, opulence aspect of Lord, then it stimulate me to surrender. Now, if I don't surrender, but I want to only focus sweetness, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said there is a problem without surrendering, hearing about Krishna's intimate pastimes, and the heart is not pure.
Absolutely.
The sahajya mentality.
I was going to say, one could develop a sahajya tendency. Thank you for bringing that up. In other words, again, we don't want to prematurely try to be at that level or imagine ourselves at that level, because, you know, Prabhupada says, you know, first deserve, then desire, right? Or the other way. In other words, one has to have qualification, and that qualification comes from, as you're saying, the surrender. That surrender means sadhana bhakti, hearing and chanting about Krishna, going through the different processes to gradual advancement, right? And not artificially jumping to that position. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Our Lord Shri Prabhupada.